Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Dude, yeah. The bisexual psyop.
Oh, yeah. That is. Oh, there we go.
Welcome to the Lore Boys, the internet's number one fake history podcast. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, here to talk to you guys today about more Warhammer 40K, specifically one of the Chaos Gods, Tzeentch, or as my wife calls him, the Speech Monster. with me, of course, is James and Peter. Say hi, James and Peter.
Ring, ding, 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 ding. It's me, Crazy Jim.
Hey, it's me, the bird one. That's the change monster. It's one of the figurines I saw, I think.
Yeah, so we'll get
Beat
into
the bird monster.
We'll talk a lot about Tzeentch on today's episode because it's an episode about Tzeentch, but his, like, the animals that are most associated with him tend to be birds and fish.
I see.
If you're worried about remembering and sharing this lore with your friends, don't worry, it's a Tzeentch.
All right, strap in, Tzeentch up your belt, and get ready. Sit tight.
Yeah.
I guess I'll call it at the front. I decided to do this episode because I've been playing Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. I've no spoilers because I've done the first. I've basically done the tutorial in that game, and they seem to be setting up Tzeentch as like the main villain. Obviously, we're not going to like kill Tzeentch in the game, but like it seems to be the followers of Tzeentch that are messing things up in the galaxy or in the Cronus Expanse for our
that
hero.
That feels nice because I think the Blood God, whatever that one's called, and Khorne. Nurgle get way too much screen time.
I mean, I straight up call Khorne a celebrity Chaos God later on in this script.
Yeah.
So
okay.
He is absolutely the
a lot of my problem captain. With a lot, like I like my Sisters of Battle. A lot of my problem with a lot of 40K media is just like they talk a big game and they have so much to work with. But it is always blue man fight bug in everything. And I'm like, how many times are we going to do this, guys?
Hey, right? Yeah, never bug. Because I want more stories about Tyranid. And I want more like events about Tyranid. But it's
those
always
chaos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Right. Fuck those up. Spice Marine 2, which is coming out, I think, this year, is about the Tyranids. And Spice Marine 1 versus the Orcs fucking ruled, dude.
I say never, like... For sure, there are some, but like Chaos is like the main antagonist. And the stories that I've read and the research that I've done, Chaos plays like a much, much bigger role, which kind of makes sense too, because like as villains,
tail ass legs on camera.
Sorry.
Of the sun.
I was opening my window. I was getting a little It's a little steamy in here.
The plow's coming by tonight, so you're gonna hear that horrible siren.
Yeah, I heard it at like 6 a.m. this morning. It was great.
Yeah.
I guess before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our Patreons. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/theloreboys. Pete, do you have a shout out for our latest patron?
Welcome to Gemstone. Thank you very much for your $9 a month. That's $3 per boy, and we put it to good use. Also, the TV show Righteous Gemstones on HBO is excellent, Jamie, when you're done Succession.
All right.
I've heard very good things. That is a show that I'm going to start watching soon, if I start watching any show.
Righteous Gemstones is all comedians in serious roles, and they're all fucking killers, dude. Every single
cool.
one. Yeah, it's excellent.
Cool. So, you guys know about the Chaos Gods. Why don't we start with a refresher on what you guys know about Warhammer 40K, Chaos, the Warp, the Chaos Gods. We've talked about Tzeentch before on another episode.
Yeah, I drew that two-headed bird, right? It's the one that corrupted the Thousand Suns, correct?
Exactly, it did.
Yes!
Magnus the Red.
Yes.
So men expanded throughout the universe, at least the galaxy, fast,
fast, boom, 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 boom. And then they lose all communication through the warp. So then all the people that normally were connected to the town, they started to kind of go their own way. So that's how you get a bunch of different civilizations, a bunch of different people. Then the warp comes back online somehow.
So it's not that the warp left, it's that there was a warp storm that lasted for 10,000 years, which knocked out all communication and was essentially there was no travel in space for 10,000 years because there was just these, like, the warp was there in space, basically.
Right. So some of the Chaos Gods we know are Slaanesh, who is like
the horny one.
Hedonism. Then there's Nurgle, who's like kind of, he's also about chasing pleasure, but he's also more like disease filled and like pustule and like,
pustule is a good word to describe.
What is gross is good.
Exactly.
Then there
Korn is the blood god, right?
It's blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull throne is Korn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I guess we're going to learn about Tzeentch, but I don't know him.
Tzeentch, spelled
Tzeentch. Tzeentch.
I know one of the figures. Yes, exactly. Okay. Oh, that's why he's into birds and fish, because it's the staples of the Greek diet.
You would put
tzatziki on.
Yes.
All right. Now we're talking my language. I was at Greek church today. It's on the mind.
Does anyone kill Tzeentch?
No, you can't really kill the ruinous powers. They're like immortal. They're not even like actually gods. They're kind of just like manifestations of the warp, essentially. They're sometimes all four of them are sometimes called Chaos Undivided, just like the very essence of like chaos. And this could almost just be like four different personalities of that one singular greater god in some ways.
Right. It's like entropy. They just exist and it's always going to be around, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Tzeentch, fun fact, is known by many nicknames, one of which is the Lord of Entropy.
Yeah, okay. The Demon of Change is one of its figurines. It's one of the ones I looked at.
Yeah, so he's got Changer of Ways, Lord of Sorcery, Architect of Fate, the Great Deceiver, Lord of Entropy, Raven God, Master of Mutation, and of course, Tzeentch.
Master of Mutation, we could call him Mom.
Oh, mommy.
Aw, mommy.
No, you call Slaanesh mommy.
One half of it.
I realized when I started this script, I was doing this list of nicknames. I didn't write down all his nicknames, but I was writing down all of them. And then I got to Tzeentch, and I was like, well, that's a funny one. I'm going to write it down, and I'll look up what it's from. I never looked up what it's from, so I don't know. He's called Tzeentch.
Tzeentch.
We're gonna look Tzeentch. He's called Tzeeentch.
People made fun of him in high school. I don't know, Tzeeentch.
That might be, now that you say it, it might be like a over-the-table nickname where people will, instead of saying Tzeeentch, people will just call him Tzeeentch, old Tzeeentchy or something, you know?
Old Tzeeentchy.
Captain Tzeeentch.
Oops, all cosmic horrors. So he's the god of change, evolution, mutation, intrigue, ambition, knowledge, sorcery, destiny, lies, and trickery. Quite the portfolio. Being the Lord of Change sets him most in opposition to the Imperium of all the ruinous powers, in my opinion, anyway. The Imperium of Man, very, very dogmatic. A lot of themes opposing change in any force or in any shape. It's a theocratic dictatorship with a literal god as their leader who is literally pinned to a chair and unable to move. Like, there's not a lot of symbolism for change.
Mutation guy. The change and mutation god is the one in opposition where it's just like, well, we would never do that. Here is a chunk of God's DNA to end a third heart, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mutation's against our religion, man.
Well, okay. Again, this is, in my opinion, I think thematically.
Okay.
As far as, they don't necessarily do that anymore. And what they do is they give the same gene seed to all the Astartes, have them become more like the one perfect model, right? Which is the Emperor of Mankind. Like, they're driving everyone towards the same endpoint, right? They're saying you're too varied as it is. Let's get you to the singular point, which is the God Emperor of Mankind.
40,000 years is long enough, evolution. We're taking charge here.
Yeah, exactly. Tzeentch is likely to blame for the chaotic nature of sorcery in the 40K universe. So this is like a common in 40K and like in Age of Sigmar, there's like the winds of sorcery, which just like when sorcery is too strong, it's very dangerous to use. I think it's called in Rogue Trader, I'm not sure what it's actually called in the tabletop game. Rogue Trader, it's like the veil. When like veil degradation is too high, you just get like unknown effects from using sorcery.
Well, that's cool.
So you can't cast like too many spells like on like subsequent turns without letting like things chill out again, because you could accidentally summon a demon from the warp.
The sorcery magic well is, that they're pulling from is like poisoned in some way. Like they
can, yeah, so sorcery yeah. is the warp. Like it is like you're pulling from the hell dimension in the 40K universe anytime you cast a spell. That's like rewriting reality by casting a spell. And the only way you can do that is by using the warp, essentially. So anytime you spend too much time in the warp, you risk it, right?
For the biscuit.
If you want to hear more about the warp, we've done a million 40K episodes where we go into more detail on it. So I'm gonna brush by it this time. But
yeah, thank you to whoever requested Zinch as well.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody did. I didn't look. Magnus probably
said rogue traders, but that'd be the closest.
Magnus probably
we did that already.
We've done rogue trader. Magnus probably asked for more Thousand Suns lore at some point, and we will talk more about the Thousand Suns later. So
I saw Magnus flexing on Saucy. He's like, I've read 70 40K books. Thank you very much. Because Saucy was like, first time, but yeah, got him. Yeah.
So when any user of magic, including the Empire condoned psychers, draws too much sorcerer's power from the warp, they risk catastrophic side effects such as turning their eyes inside out, summoning Eldritch Horror, you know, the
usual Jamie's
stuff.
Ass cheeks again.
Yeah. I moved my camera so you didn't have to go through it this time.
No, it was a better shot.
we need to get Jamie the booty shorts that say skittery little fuck freak.
Yes, yeah, as soon.
I'll put on my pink sweatpants for you guys. So it says pink on my butt. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to say Loreboy's canon. We could probably surmise that, like, the turning their eyes inside out, summoning Eldritch Horror from beyond is probably to Tzeentch is doing, right? Like, it's probably this guy being the Lord of Sorcery is doing that bad things happen when you draw too much from the well.
Right. Okay.
Tzeentch is also in charge of destiny in the universe. While this Chaos God's ultimate goal is to establish himself, of course, as the boss baby god of chaos. That's all the Chaos Gods. They seem to want to be like in pole position over there. They don't really cooperate. They did one time during the Horus Heresy, and we'll talk a little bit about Tzeentch's role in that later. Okay. But
speaking of boss baby, that picture you sent us of your baby drinking beer, was that real beer? Was it filled?
It was real beer, and it was full, but the can was closed.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay. She hasn't figured that part out yet.
Yeah, she can't do the tab. She's too weak. No, you can't have beer till you know how to open the can.
Yeah, that's it. If you can open the can, it's all good. Yeah, exactly.
You know what, little girl?
It's nature's way of keeping children out. Children too young out, right?
Yeah, exactly. The closed beer cans grow on the very high branches to keep them away from the baby chips.
No tuna cans, no beer, nothing until you can open them.
Yeah. But you can tune a piano.
Yeah, but not a can of ravioli. I don't know how this works.
If you punched holes in it, and you can make a little recorder out of a ravioli can, probably.
Maestro Bill Boyardee.
Yeah. Hot cross buns. The episode art's just gonna be a drawing of my baby playing hot cross buns on a ravioli. So Tzeentch came to a sentience during the second millennium of Earth's time. So he was the second, I think, I read.
The second god millennium, chaos. So it's the Y2K chaos god, basically?
Like, during the second millennium, so sometime between, like, 1000 and 2000, essentially. So
oh, excuse could, me, that's true, this 21st is...
Yeah, he could be the Y1K or the Y2K.
Okay.
Man, you know?
We're gonna party like it's 999. Yeah, that must have been fun.
He, although you say that, like, he was definitely behind Y2K because he loves, like, subtly, like, sowing discourse and like unrest. So
before the Horus Heresy, he was like a poltergeist where he's just like, oh no,
the numbers
on your computers are gonna fuck up.
Not for the Horus Heresy, for everything. Everything he does is all like he tricks people into thinking they have an idea to do something, like design computers so that they when the year 2000 hits they explode or something. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah,
so like that's his whole MO is like he's way less direct than like Korn, who is we're going to march there and pull their spines out, you know?
Okay. So like everything from stubbed toes to mutation is seems just doing.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
And so he came to sentience during the second millennium when human political scheming really took off, right? Perfect. I mean, don't tell Jesus about it, but really political scheming happened between 1000 and 2000, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So you guys will remember Warhammer 40K.
He put George W. Bush in power, basically. Yeah, exactly. Get the fucking scheme going.
Yeah, he put Reagan in power, too.
Friend of the show, Ronald Reagan.
He killed Kennedy. Too much unity. A fish and a bird, a fish slash bird was the second shooter on the grassy knoll.
Oh, no. Oh, it's like from the video, just a spray of tzatziki at the side.
So the Architect of Fate is aware of the visions, dreams, and plans of all mortals in the galaxy all at once. So at all times, he knows what everyone is planning, what they are dreaming. Yeah, exactly. He knows who's been naughty and who's been nice. Yeah.
1,000 letters, all addressed to Sinch, just like dumping them on the ground.
I have a quote for you guys from Inquisitor Gallienus Dirk. He says, "If chaos is change itself, then Sinch, more than any other dark power, embodies chaos in its purest, most primal form. Therefore, no other god of chaos warrants more of our fearful respect, our tireless resistance, and our unflagging loyalty to the Emperor." Now, records of him saying this were declared Heretica Extremis. I didn't do the Latin translation, but I'm going to guess that you can't just find those words at your public library.
Extreme heretic. Yeah, heretic.
Heretica Extremis is pretty good. Is that one? That's very clear.
Okay. A little on the nose, yeah. So while the other Runus powers, like I was saying, tend to act directly, Korin's got his skull tax, Nurgle has the chicken pox, Slaanesh has horny bombs. Both Sinch and his servants tend to prefer subtle schemes to outright power play. So they like to operate in the shadows. They're the CIA. They killed Kennedy.
Right.
I don't know how many more times I gotta say it.
Yeah. Sinch is the one like hiring people for like the banana wars to destabilize Colombia. Exactly.
Absolutely. Like we joke, but like absolutely that would be a thing that he was into.
Right. You know? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He loves Facebook and polarizing Facebook moms all over the world. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Russian bot farms. Sinch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Minion memes is the work of a chaos god. I saw you guys had minion memes in the last art, so I thought I'd bring that back.
Yeah, we had a lot of them. Yeah, minion memes have been hot on Loreboys recently.
Yeah, yeah.
We've never gone away. Like all the chaos gods, Tzeentch is usually referred to as a he, but like all the chaos gods, Tzeentch is just a compressed pocket of warp gas, so is thus an NB icon. All the chaos gods are non-binary.
Okay, all right.
They're just clouds of gas and smoke.
Aren't we all just stardust? What is
Neil deGrasse Tyson would have a hot take on that.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't ask the Lolly fans if everyone's stardust and stuff. Because they're like, oh yeah, what is age? We're all just stardust. It's like, Jesus.
I'll make a note. I won't ask him about that.
Don't ask him.
So the skies above Sinch, when they manifest, are heavy with magic, with which roils like smoke, creating subtle and interwoven patterns. He's the magic mushroom god, basically. Like, if anyone's ever done magic mushrooms, I of course not. I would never do drugs. But, like, if you have done them, you know, like, when you see, you'll just see, like, crazy patterns and stuff that they're obviously, right?
Okay.
You guys ever had a computer in the mid-2000s and opened Windows Media Player?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was some serious colors.
This is interesting. Quick aside, because there's an episode I've been wanting to do, because I have mild Joe Rogan poisoning, allegedly, a lot of people who trip on DMT see a lot of the same characters, and I've wanted to do a Loreboys episode about DMT.
I was with my friend last night who was just telling me he went to see a shaman in Mexico and went through a whole guided experience on it. So we can ask him if he saw that.
Yeah.
Bring him on.
There's common characters, which is interesting that like he appears as like whirling smoke and like all these, that imagery I find very DMT-esque. It just somebody write this down and guess my episode in 6 months when I do the DMT one.
So Sinch just looking at you is enough to change you, whether body, mind, or soul. No one comes under Cinch's regard without becoming changed. So like,
I think that's embarrassing true to, outfit. Got it.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
That's true to everyone, I think. Just to be perceived is to be changed.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. But like this will like sometimes like an arm will become a tentacle, you know.
Oh, okay. It's pretty drastic. Okay.
Yeah.
Or other people would notice too. It's less of a philosophical thing.
No, yeah. I can go through two slits like a particle or like a wave until you look at me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm a particle, yeah.
Yeah. Until Cinch looks at you, then you're a
particle. Yeah, then I'm a tentacle that can't fit through the two slits anymore. Yeah.
No, then you can. You weave through them, but you never hit the board at the back.
That's true. I've seen the octopus coming onto boats and stuff, and they can come in through those tiny exhaust pipes.
Yeah,
anything their beak can fit through, they can go through.
We got no bones. Octopus ain't got no bones.
True.
You knew that. You know that, Jamie.
I saw a post of like, what if you did Lovecraftian horrors, but instead of everything being tentacly and everything, that the idea of having joints was the disgusting thing. So it's like rigid and like angly, it crawls towards you with surprising like finesse and stuff. And it's like, oh yeah.
Actually, I find that much more terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Tumblr post was like from an octopus perspective. Like octopodes probably look at us as eldritch horrors, right? Because we have so many joints. Like
With a small head, barely big enough for its large body, because like their heads are so big and stuff, meant for an animal twice its size. Is it?
Yeah. That's why cephalopod means head foot.
Oh,
cephalopod.
The two, the building blocks of life, head foot.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I
never thought about it, but
cephalophil was acne medication. Is that
Cetaphil?
Cetaphil.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. My stepbrother had it.
Okay.
I still drive my dad's old car from 2010, and my wife opened the glove box the other day, and she's like, "Why do you have a bottle of Proactiv in here?" Which is like, it was definitely my brother's acne medication in high school. I don't know why. Yeah.
It is frozen and defrosted at this point. What,
50
90
done?
Times?
Yeah. I ran out of face cream this week, so I've been using SPF 60 and going out in the winter with the most sun protection ever.
We've had three days of sun in the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm already pale. I might as well commit.
Yeah.
I saw your thighs 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
So obviously, descriptions of Cinch are pretty mercurial in nature. There are some descriptions of him which do get corroborated, like the DMT smoke monster. Some people do see the same thing when they're describing it. Cinch is often seen as a thin, lanky sorcerer in robes that continuously change color. Cinch's head hangs low beneath its shoulders so that its head and body are one, and its arms are long and spindly. I did send you guys a picture if you wanted to look. From above Cinch's burning eyes spring two sweeping horns, the spiraling extremities of which crackle with arcane fire.
It looks very pagan or like what, like Akkad, what is it? It's like Sumerian in art. Like I watched The Exorcist in October, and Pazuzu is like the demon in that, who is like they find in Sumeria, which is like in Iran now or something like that.
Yep.
It looks very of that era, the like goat or like bull based. Yeah, very gross and creepy. Also saber-tooth tits. Like a coconut bra with saber teeth on it?
Hell yeah.
I can't quite tell what the main face on it is, because he's got a belly face, he's got nipple faces, he's got a face. Looks like he has eyes on the end of his horns almost, too.
So, but the description continues. Sometimes his skin is described as covered in faces and mouths that shift, slide, emerge, and are subsumed back into the unnatural flesh.
Oh, so that's great for humans. Humans see faces and everything when they're tripping and stuff, or even in pattern recognition. So it's like we can't really comprehend, so we just see faces all over him. Kind of.
That's it. That's why I call him the magic mushroom god, because it's like, absolutely. Like, if you're just seeing somebody's skin covered in faces and mouths that are shifting, sliding, emerging, and subsuming back into their flesh, you're probably tripping.
Some of the grout between the fake rocks on my wall in front of me, I have looked at and detected faces when. Yeah. I would never drugs either, but if I was stoned, I would have absolutely done that.
I once went to the middle of the woods.
A shaman in Mexico.
The top of a hill. It was just me and Ice, and I walked across these train tracks over a train bridge up this hill, and I'm at the peak of a hill. There's forest everywhere, and there's a river below, and I'm watching the sunset go down, and I'm was in college and experimenting. So I was having like a fun time and I was seeing things in the trees and everything. And at one point I'm looking up at the trees and I look next to me and the dog's sitting next to me. She's also looking up, just like breathing happy. Yeah. So we're just vibing out in the woods. But then I'm watching the sunset and the sun goes down and I realize I'm tripping and I'm in the middle of the woods and it's pitch black. I don't have a flashlight to bring my phone. I'm just like out in the middle of the woods.
I doubt you had a phone at the time. It was a flip phone probably, if anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So
you do this all the time now. You like venture out into Ethan's soy field with whiskey every summer.
I like a good adventure, like a nice solo adventure. Yeah. And I went out with Ice and so, and now I'm walking back and all I can see is the trees as they get close to me and pass by and I'm seeing faces in the trees and I'm just following this dog. The dog's pulling me and to either side of me, there's like cliff faces and we're going down to this like spiraling trail to get back down to the train tracks and we still have to cross the train bridge that has gaps that go down to the river below. So I follow, my dog brings me all the way down the hill the right way. I don't fall. She brings me across the railroad bridge. Now we got lights and we're home. So the dog, it was a good thing I brought the dog because she knew the way home.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would just be sun bleached bones at this point if you didn't have your dog with you. You'd be like one of those, like a deer skeleton you take a souvenir from, basically.
Yeah. Some froshy smoking a joint for the first time would have found me just like frozen out there. Yeah.
Kind of fucking bawling out of your skull. So sometimes Cinch is seen as just multicolored smoke, yet more times he's seen as a flock of malformed birds or fish, or a bastard version of the two that swim in the air and fly in the sea. Like we said earlier, birds and fish are both consistent symbols for Cinch. It seems like
it's like a combination of the two, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Penguins, the most eldritch horror.
The birdfish. Yeah.
They're in Antarctica, and you know, all those early eldritch horror writers were obsessed with Antarctica.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there had to be something beyond the penguins, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
There actually isn't much beyond the penguins. Once you go away from the water, there's like nothing. There's just big old crevasses.
Yeah.
Or crevices? Crevasses.
Crevasse.
There's a crevice and a crevasse are either ice or rock.
Jamie,
as far
you
as
should have been here last weekend. Pete and I talked all about Antarctica already, okay? So we're not doing it 2 weeks in a row. We already talked about the strange dinosaur land in the middle of Antarctica.
Oh, we did, yeah, when it was an archipelago.
Do you know what Antarctica smells like when you pull up?
Penguin shit.
Yeah. Cigarettes.
Penguin shit.
I thought it was like all the eldritch horrors smoking.
That'd be cool.
So
smoking smoking is the most entropy thing you could do to yourself, I guess.
Sure.
Right?
Birds and fish. I tried to do the research on like why birds and fish. It seemed like the best guess I could find is that like they both live or look about in very transient mediums, like air and water are constantly changing and in flux.
Mm.
I was like, okay, I think just like fish and feather or scales and feathers are like weird to see on. Like grafted onto human skin because of mutation more than anything, but
and air and water are like where we're most uncomfortable traveling, I guess. Like land is kind of our thing.
Land is our thing.
Yeah,
I think number one with a bullet. Okay, we've got four. Okay, we've got land, water, we've got air, we got space.
You wouldn't want to find yourself in the middle of any of those except for land.
Depends. Yeah. Am I tripping out and don't have a dog with me?
Always bring your dog, into the warp.
Hey, if you're in air or space, or if you're in air, the dog will get you home just as unerringly.
That's true. Yeah. You guys will arrive at the exact same time.
If you ignore air resistance.
So it could be that Cinch had a physical form, which he's capable of shifting. It could be that the master of sorcery is simply projecting the images he wants mortals to see because he's like the CIA in subtle manipulation. It could be that he never really meets with anybody. He just sends like visions. It's also possible that mortal minds upon beholding the dark god create an image in their own mind to explain what they're seeing. So maybe this is just people's DMT monster that they're
right.
They're all projecting onto this thing.
Everybody sits down at the campfire and talks to a school of fish. Like, oh, okay.
I'll post a picture of you guys of a Cinch ritual. This is what him and the boys get up to kind of thing. And you will notice in the foreground, a lot of like feathered appendages that don't really match what a human should look like.
A lot of like slimy bird beaks coming out of the direct center of like a humanoid, like a Yeti chest. Yes.
It's kind of like formal wear, like you know how like a college professor will put leather patches on their elbows. Yeah. They just get feathery masses on their elbows to show they're fancy and ready for their
tweed coat with the feather elbows. Yeah.
So naturally, many of the followers of Sinja's cult are sorcerers in search of power. Those who stray too close to the Hell Sun with their wax wing. Some follow him willingly, looking to the dark god and seeing their chance at taking a slice of power. Some of them, hey, Runa's power, that's fucking dope. Do it. I'll be a horror. Let's go.
I'll sacrifice the elbows of my perfectly good tweed coat to this dark god. Yeah.
RP the RP. Exactly. We'll play the Runa's power.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice.
Others, of course, are deceived. They believe they are operating under their own agency, but unbeknownst to them, they serve the changer of ways.
Destabilizing the countries with the banana farms is the right thing to do. I have not been misled by the
government. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At all.
No, we should vote for Rand. Of course we should. because of this, it's hard to run a census on the followers of Tsinch. On paper, he definitely has less followers than a celebrity Runa's power like Korn. Probably also has the least of all four, like direct followers.
Don't know, right? Like everybody's been born identified into
exactly, yeah,
being a follower of Sinch. Okay, yeah, it's very. Yeah. I mean, it's very authentic. He's the psyop one.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Second half of my sentence was, but as many people aren't even aware they're serving him, he might have much more than we could ever.
Okay, sorry. I don't need to keep like. You don't have to apologize.
You nailed it, dude.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Doesn't have to lay it up. His style, you don't advertise as much. You know, like Slaanesh, like, come on over here. We got the fucking. And that's awesome. And it's like, Korn's like, we got the killing, dude. You want to slaughter some folk?
We got the fucking could be Arby's new slogan. I think it would work. Instead of we got the meat.
I still have, on the subject of the booty shorts that we're waiting to be able to sell, I still have, they call me Big Fucking, is the big red logo.
It's like, we got the fucking, and it's just an Arby's sandwich turned sideways. Like, oh, God.
roast beef. Yeah.
Pete's writing it down like that's going to be the artwork or something.
No,
I
accidentally capitalized the W in tweed like an idiot.
It's like, yeah, we need
fixing that for myself.
Feathery elbows, roast beef vagina. Okay, there we go. Yeah, we're
going to jam all this into Midjourney and see what pops out, huh?
For the record, I do not work in Midjourney. Anybody out there?
I think people can tell from looking at your artwork that it's not
AI. I know it all looks pretty consistent.
Sorry, I lost my spot here. Some of those who follow him willingly are gifted for it. They become sorcerers capable of manipulating the wart. But generally, Tsinch likes to mutate his followers into abominations known as Chaos Spawn.
Okay.
So as followers continue to serve, they find themselves rewarded with more and more mutations. A sorcerer struggling to master the complex rites of spellcraft may find their hands mutated into convenient tentacles, like a multi-tool for magic.
It's funny, I was thinking he was just like, you get 5 wand fingers per hand now, so you can zap that way.
Basically, though, that's the spirit of it, at the very least.
Right.
Or maybe their eyes will change to a liquefied goop, which helps them to see magic better. Like, we're going to take away your eyes, you just get goo instead. And you won't be able to see, but you'll see the lines of magic better, right? To become a better sorcerer.
Okay.
All of this is in service to Tsinch in the hopes of becoming a demon proper. So, again, they want to keep becoming stronger and stronger sorcerers to become proper demons.
I was just thinking about a nearsighted sorcerer that also has the goo eyes, just like with constantly wet glasses they're pushing up against the goo.
Yeah. With a tentacle. Yeah. Yeah. They keep pushing up their glasses with their tentacle, but the sucker keeps getting stuck on the lens.
I was thinking of like a meeting with like a TA or something, like trying to clean off the lens with a tentacle so it's just getting slimier and slimier.
It's like a slime soaked rag in their tentacle.
Like stuff it back into the tweed coat, just like covered in goo.
But every time a bell rings, a follower of Tsinch gets too many wings.
Oh.
Most followers have their flesh twisted too far enough to drive them mad. Like a beautiful snowflake, no two are the same. So I sent you guys a picture of what one chaos spawn looks like. The body from which the spawn pupates grows vast with layers of muscle and sagging flab, enveloping the contorted skeleton and rapidly mutating organs within. Limbs elongate and multiply, fracturing along their length to allow for new movement before developing sharply articulated joints. This is a horror to an octopus, right? This is what we call it.
Yeah.
I can't tell which one was the original guy. Like, is it the guy who's twisted backwards, like whenever you get tetanus or whatever, like in your spine gets all... Or is it rabies, where your spine just completely goes backwards and tense because your back muscles...
I thought syphilis fucked up your spine. Rabies is your brain and you like drool.
One of them, it makes your back... It makes all your muscles tense up, but your back's stronger than your front. So you end up being in this like death arch on your back where it's like you never can lay down properly. Your stomach is sticking out. And it looks like what this guy has. And then out of his chest is like... Almost like something from like Diablo, like a skeleton.
I think it's him. Fleshy. I think it's one person. I think like his skeleton and muscles have ripped out of his own chest and are sticking out of his own chest.
Well, there's an upside down face that Jamie was talking about, like on where the crotch of the top skeleton would be.
But there's no skull in there. His skull ripped itself out. There's just goo in there.
Yeah, there's just
the black goo coming out.
Goo with astigmatism that can't see straight or whatever.
It's. I like how this thing kind of looks like how every single change was like, ah, fuck. And they kind of overcorrect for it. So it's like, oh, yeah, nah, his head's upside down now. And his eyes are just black tentacles. We're going to put eyes on his chest. It's like, ah, fuck, now he can't eat. So because his head's upside down. So we're just going to put a big mouth in the middle of the upside down chest.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. We're just going to put a skeleton on top of the whole goddamn thing to restart this whole process.
And
what about the spine scorpion tail? It's like, nah, I'll leave it.
That comes out from under his right armpit. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. It's inelegant. It's inelegant.
I mean, not to cinch. To cinch, this is what it's all about. You know what I mean? This is the end goal.
Well, this is a hard one changed. This is a hard one to fully imagine. So, like, if you are a patron, you can check out the episode picks on Loreboys, discord.gg/loreboys, and we'll post that. But holy, what a grotesque figure.
You can find it. If you look up a Chaos Spawn, they all look like this. Again, they're all beautiful snowflakes.
Google it. Subscribe to our Patreon and get onto the Discord. Google has no good information whatsoever. Actually.
Also that. You won't know exactly which one we're talking about.
No.
So this biology, obviously, utterly incapable of sustaining a natural existence. Yet, it is given fuel by the unquenchable insanity of the being that has been transformed. So, sorcerer learns some magic, starts using too much magic, starts getting deformed, gets more and more deformed, starts to go more and more insane because they're getting more and more deformed. And that insanity seems to drive like sorcery in some way. So they keep like drawing more and more warp, which leads to more and more mutation, essentially.
It is a racket that Tsinch is the CIA.
Well, in his infinite wisdom, Tsinch has allowed this poor sap to retain just enough of their former intellect to experience an eternity of madness.
I see. Beautiful. Okay.
There's no blissful ignorance here. You are going to be aware of your insanity for all time.
Without spoiling too much of the game, what you've been fighting so far in Rogue Trader, it's like a turn-based fighting game, right?
It's a turn-based tactical shooter, I guess.
Like an XCOM or something. XCOM, like that. Yeah. Like, okay. So you're fighting these things?
I have fought one of these things, I think.
So far,
maybe two of these.
Is it a tutorial boss? Because that's what you did.
No, so I got a little bit past the actual tutorial, but I did like chapter one, so still very good. Yeah, I've played like I don't know, to 10 hours, something like that. Like actual.
Okay.
Maybe more. I don't know. Who can keep track?
Okay, so while you're doing your rogue trading, there's chaos. There's a couple of these out there.
Yeah. So like the game starts, essentially, you're like, you become a rogue trader. Listen to our rogue trader episode if you want to hear about how that is. You inherit a warrant of trade and become a rogue trader. And you're like, chaos forces attacked your ship. And you're trying to figure out, there's like these strange pieces of glass on your aunts, your distant relation, who the former rogue trader whom you inherited the warrant from. There's like these strange pieces of glass, like multicolored glass on her desk, and they're artifacts of chaos, essentially.
Okay.
And you seem to be able to like lean into the chaos element. I'm doing like a a moral playthrough, I guess, on my first playthrough. I'm not doing the evil playthrough on my first one, but it seems to be like you could probably like get artifacts of chaos and maybe even side with chaos at some point later on in the game. I don't know. Nice. I haven't been that far.
Does the cat bring back the toy every time you throw it, or are you just throwing things?
I'm throwing kibble.
Oh, you're throwing kibble.
Okay. He eats it.
Oh, awesome.
I throw it, then he eats it.
I have a hair elastic from some woman that my cat loves. I'll toss it into my bedroom, and my cat will chase it back out to my desk, and I'll grab it and throw it back into my bedroom.
When I'm upstairs working in the office, because it's like off a hallway at the top of a flight of stairs. If my door's open, he'll bring me, he has like a ball that he loves to bring me, and he loves to play fetch, but he also loves to bring it just like a foot and a half out of my reach. That's as far as he brings it every single time. So it's like, eventually I have to lock him out. I'm like, if he just brought it all the way, I'd be fine. Like, I'd throw it all day, no problem. But because he brings it too far, I'm like, I'm not gonna keep taking my headphones off and getting out of my chair to go get your ball all day. So,
So
I'm gonna sacrifice him to the Ruinous Powers. I'm gonna turn him into a flash mob.
Honestly, Melon too. Melon first. Your cat's kind of cool. Melon's not cool yet.
I mean, he's getting a lot chiller. Honestly, he's already quite a bit calmer than he used to be. So
Winter made mine so snuggly now. It's just 3.5
Yeah, I was talking about Luis's last night. He's holding his like 13-year-old black cat, patting it on the butt, and then it would kiss him every time he patted it. No. I was like, oh my god, this is the sweetest old animal.
Well, you've only got 12 and a half years until you can do that to your cat.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be in my 44. Jesus Christ.
Oh no. Oh no. Why did you do it, Jamie? Oh god. That's awful. I hope my fucking skull and rib cage rips itself out of my chest before that.
Yeah, seriously.
So the Thousand Sun, the Chaos Legion under the watchful tutelage of longtime Loreboy's patron, Magnus the Red, view the Chaos Spawn as a natural byproduct of the quest for knowledge. Sortarius, the current homeworld of the Thousand Suns Legion, is covered in roaming packs of Chaos Spawn, former people in service to the Legion who could only make the B team. They are used in battle. They're often kind of funneled towards the enemy. You can't really like give them orders, but you kind of just like build like magic barriers, like a magic funnel, literally, that they have to run down.
Yeah. Or we sometimes need to stop fighting the Thousand Suns in this canyon because their monsters keep pouring out of it.
Yeah.
There's some magician leading a bunch of lemmings into our planet. There's just lemmings with the stop hands and then, like, bouncing into them.
I mean, they'll also sometimes like take like a chain of slaves that they'll put it like a nice little breadcrumb trail, so that the chaos hook kibble for their cats too. Well, that's it. They're drawn to slaughter, right? And they just want to like destroy things. So they're like they see a piece of kibble, they see a breadcrumb, they run after it, and sometimes they'll do that to get. So I'm just picturing like this like one guy just like poor bastard, raggedy clothes, in some manacles, like standing next to like the Imperium's forces, just like 30 feet away from their battle line. The Imperium's just like, what are you doing? Nothing. Just keeps looking over his shoulder, waiting for the thing to come and like eat him.
He's like tied to that stick like the goat in Jurassic Park. He's like, no.
The ones who manage to survive battle grow in size. So they're like lobsters. Chaos spawns never stop growing. The resulting
get a little metal, they'd pin a tentacle to his chest for his service.
Yeah. They pin his former claw, which he molted out of. The resulting gargantuan chaos spawns get very, very, very large. They never stop growing, like I said. So like they can just get bigger and bigger and bigger. They become harder and harder to kill. And that essentially ensures that the soul that became it is condemned to an eternity of madness. Like, you'll never get released, because even if you get killed, there's probably a portion of you which will remain, which will then continue to mutate and become another chaos spawn, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's like a Gario, that game where you start as a blob. You can only absorb smaller blobs. Bigger and bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Chaos spawns.
Those who avoid the fate of becoming a chaos spawn become incredibly powerful chaos sorcerers and warriors. More and more humans we know fall victim to Tsinch each year. The Imperium reports that the gene which allows humans to become psychers in the first place is spreading every year. So it's not—it's the opposite of a recessive gene. It is progressive gene processing.
I mean, in 40,000 years, there are no gingers, but tons of wizards.
Yeah, exactly.
It's recessive and dominant, right? It's dominant. A gene that, yeah, okay.
Like, because that means it would spread, right? Like a dominant gene.
I haven't done biology in a while. There's that whole experiment with the bean plants. I read. Have dominant genes, yeah, and it's like you can get like 75% of growth if it's a dominant and a recessive, and then
bunch
two dominant
beans. You're just like, I don't want these step beans, actually.
Yeah, two dominants gets you 100 of the way. I don't know. Go take a biology class, you bunch of idiots.
Please, fucking moron. I'm not gonna do it. You do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So whatever the term, like, there's a gene which allows humans to manipulate the warp and become wizards, and that gene is spreading throughout the gene pool. So that means there's more and more unsanctioned mediums out there ready to fall victim to Tsinch and his tricks, right? Of course, Imperials are under strict rules to execute any psychers showing signs of corruption. It's instant death if you're a psyker and you show like you are drinking the Kool-Aid, I guess, of the warp.
Tentacles, please, at the border. Tentacles.
With a Kool-Aid still, of the warp, would be clam juice, right? Of course, the way.
Yeah, that's it. No clam juice vials over 100 milliliters.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah. It's like Palmetto. 16 shoes coming off. still, it remains the less spread corruption throughout the galaxy. But as the Chaos Sorcerers, its bonds are incredibly powerful. It is the most feared by the Empire's Ordo Xenos, the Inquisition. Okay. So it's the, again, Tsinch, the fewest followers, probably the least spread throughout the galaxy, but it is still the most feared. Like the quote I read to you guys earlier, it is chaos almost in its purest form, and thus rightly feared. Tsinch himself is directly opposed to Nurgle, the Plague Lord, where Papa Nurgs embodies chaos as stagnation and dissolution. Tsinch sees it more as constant change. Nurgle feeds off of despair and decay. Tsinch is powered by hope, potential, and progress.
Nurgle would be a stagnant pool filled with like insect eggs and
fetid water.
And Tsinch would be a flood that took out, or a monsoon or something.
Exactly.
To
many students of the Ruinous Powers, the however speculative ideological descriptions of the Changer of Ways make better sense when put up against Nurgle versus the other two, right? Despite Tsinch's intense rivalry with Grandfather Nurgle, he is nonetheless the Chaos God with the most influence over the other major Ruinous Powers. At times, the Chaos Gods must unite and act in concert if their individual plans are to reach fruition, as they did against the Emperor at the time of the Horus Heresy. And it is always Tsinch who brokers these rare alliances of Chaos Undivided. Probably just being open to like the change of form of that, right?
Yeah, it's like change at any cost. Like, again, thinking about like the PSYOP strategy of this thing, it's like every once in a while you do need a little bit of muscle to go in and actually execute your coup or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, while you've been poisoning people's minds for 10,000 years or something like that.
I like that it's going to be the mind manipulator is like the main bad of the merchant game, right? Like, there's going to be some interesting like politics stuff and like
Again, so there is like a there's like alignment, right? Like, there's good and evil, but it's there's three. So there's dogmatic, there's heretical, and then there's iconoclast. So there's essentially like you can fully believe in the Empire and the Church and be a dogmatic, or you can be heretical and you can lean into the forces of chaos, or you can be an iconoclast, which is like you're for the people.
Cool. But yeah, like I mean breaking off from both the Empire and also Chaos, it's like based libertarian playthrough of like of like Rogue Trader, basically, where you're like, no roads, I don't fucking care who builds them.
Yeah, exactly. I got my ship. What do I need more void ships for everybody for?
The way that Pete said something earlier just remind me, have you guys seen each other yet? Ethan, have you given the Christmas gift to Peter?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Oh. It's on my desk. I have a Christmas gift for you, Pete. If you came down for New Year's, I would have given it to you.
Oh, yeah. We were all too sleepy.
Yeah. Okay, so after the break, we'll talk a bit more about Tsinch and his mortal Astartes, the Thousand Suns.
Beautiful.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back from the break. We were talking about the Chaos Lord Tsiinch and his why don't we talk about his digs? Why don't we talk about his MTV Cribs? I sent you guys a picture of what his setup looks like. Pretty simple stuff. His home sweet home is known as the Impossible Fortress. Located on the Plane of Sorcerers, this ever-changing sanctum of magic walls is said to exist at the center of an impossible crystal maze.
Impossible Fortress sounds like a very good but kind of dangerous Nickelodeon competition show for children.
Yeah,
one of those playground competition ones, yeah, right? Yeah, I can't remember what that was called.
Remember the temple Aztec one?
Challenge? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, like Aztec Challenge or some shit, whatever that was.
And it's like if you ran through, you could get the bronze, then the silver, then the gold, depending on how far you made it and the amount of time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then there's bonus idols for prizes. Okay, and looking at this fortress, there's a bunch of like things that are not completely real, it seems like, at the bottom, because there's like floating eyes and like miasma where this like spiraling staircase goes up to a
very
floating...
Alice in Wonderland-esque staircase. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
growing up these like swirling smoke black hole eyes that are like in the mist around it.
It's the only thing that connects it to the ground, but could never support something that big.
I was going to say that the technical foundation is real reliable. And if you could build a synagogue on top of these, tunnel right through it. Don't worry about it.
The imbalanced spires loom at impractical angles above it, alongside towers of blue and pink warp fire, which is what you see at the bottom there.
I'd like to live in one of the towers that has like the straight hallway out, and it's just a tower all by itself. On the side there.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be nice and secluded. And if you want, you can go to the main building, but you have your own little tower.
Yeah.
Also, on the subject of all the Chaos Gods being NB icons, the bisexual lighting and all the Tsiinch art, the pink and the blue,
yeah,
very good. Very good.
Absolutely. That is true. I can only assume that NB's, like, I don't know when Tsiinch was introduced, but they may have taken the colors from this.
Dude, yeah. The bisexual psyop.
Oh, yeah. That is. Oh, there we go.
So doors are known to
the episode right there.
Bisexual. Yeah.
When it was in my head, I was like, "That's a good episode title." I was like, "That's so too." Yeah.
It's the writer's room right here, guys.
Doors are known to appear randomly, then disappear with a slam. No one but the most powerful lords of change, who are the strongest of Tsiinch's demons, are able to navigate the fortress without essentially being lost for all time in a realm without time.
Breadcrumbs all over the place. Never find your way out of the witch's cave.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, slave seed all over the place. Those are the breadcrumbs. it is.
Just a guy coming with a plate, and he like walks into your room. He has like the napkin over his head. He puts the plate down. And he just stands onto it. Your dinner, sir.
Puts the takes the dome dish, like the lid off, then just puts it on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good, Jamie.
So it's from here, this impossible fortress, that Tsiinch does most of his scheming and orders his minions about. Most notable among them may be the Thousand Suns Traitor Legion. I have a quote for you guys, attributed to Ahriman of the Thousand Suns. And what of your Imperium? It was built with the toil of heroes and giants, and now it is inhabited by frightened weaklings to whom the glories of those times are half-forgotten legends. We have done an episode on the Thousand Suns about their fall to chaos. We're going to go over some of the same stuff, but if you want to hear that, there's a link to that episode in the description to this one. So the Thousand Suns Traitor Legion of Heretic Astartes serves Tsiinch exclusively. They're There's Siege stands.
Say that again quickly. Holy.
Thousands of Trader Legion of the Heretic has already served Siege exclusively.
Pretty good.
Unique New York.
During the Great Crusade, the galaxy-spanning mission to reunite all of humanity after the 10,000 years of darkness they had just went through, the Thousand Suns underwent some change. Many men manifested psychic abilities. Others underwent a flesh change and developed rapid and uncontrolled physical mutations. Sound familiar?
Puberty.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have tentacles where you didn't have tentacles before. Don't worry about it. We had a whole class about this.
Don't worry, honey. He's not mad at you. He's just going through, what is it, a flesh change.
So mutated battle brothers were placed in stasis to await an eventual cure, and the ranks of the Thousand Suns thinned. Leaders of the Imperium became concerned, and many argued that the Legion should be disbanded and all traces of its existence removed from Imperial history. Of course, we know from the last episode that didn't happen. You guys remember the last episode. I know you guys remember exactly how this goes, but...
The guy with bird wings is there.
Yeah.
He's got the nipple spikes.
The Great Crusade wore on with nickel spikes. nipple spikes in tow. And the forces of the Emperor eventually reached the planet Prospero, where they discovered Magnus the Red, the Cyclopean Primarch of the Thousand Suns. Once introduced to the 15th Legion, created from his genome, Magnus acted swiftly to save his progeny, almost all of whom had succumbed to the flesh change at that point.
Okay.
Through some unknown and possibly arcane process of sorcery, gained through talking to people in the warp, there was a bargain that cost him one of his eyes. Magnus managed to stabilize the Thousand Suns gene seed, but by then, the number of the Thousand Suns was still small. So, we know from the episode that Siege gave him this deal. He didn't know it was Siege at the time. Magnus is the poster boy,
right,
or person who was serving Siege without realizing he was serving Siege the whole time.
Right.
That was exactly his arc, was like he was doing all these things that he thought was the right thing. At the end of that episode, you guys remember sorcery was banned, and he was like, I have to warn the Emperor of an attack coming. So he used sorcery to send a psychic message, and the ruinous powers used that message, like that spell, to breach the Emperor's palace and gravely wound him. Right. And all of that was Sinch's scheming, basically. So things were looking pretty good.
Scheming spelt with a TZ, by the way.
Scheming Pala. So during the fall of Prospero, at the end of our last episode, Magnus and some of the Thousand Suns managed to escape with the help of patron Sinch. After fully embracing the ruinous power, the Thousand Suns continued to develop their combat doctrine of guile and trickery, and they continued to favor ranged weapons and sorcery over close combat. Still kind of how they operate.
Their doctrine of guile and trickery. There's like a book that says guile and trickery.
Pretty much.
That's what the professor with the feather patches is teaching the class.
Right.
Like, this is what the year's about. Guile and trickery.
Yeah. Now everyone open your textbooks, and it's just like fake textbooks with like coil snakes inside that pop out.
Right. First lesson, you failed.
That's great.
So they changed
it like a pop top textbook to have the snakes like still inside, like.
Yeah.
So they changed it.
They changed their legion's colors from crimson to blue and gold. These are the favored colors of the Changer of Ways, and added elaborate headdresses to their helmet. That was just a fun fact that I wanted to add. They got more fun with their helmets.
Yeah, they got the pharaoh things on the side there.
It's the bisexual psyop.
They took bisexuals love fancy helmets.
They do, so you can pick them out of a crowd.
Yeah. They make great helmets, yeah.
They took up residence on Sartarius, the planet of sorcerers, within the Eye of Terror in the Warp. Now, constant exposure to the Imperium would take its toll. Soon, the flesh change, which once plagued the Mortal Legion, took hold again. So again, they were mortals. They had this thing called the flesh change. It was real, real bad. Everyone was becoming Chaos Spawn.
Yeah.
Magnus walks into the warp, thinks he finds the perfect spell to solve this, not realizing it was the Siege that gave it to him. Cures his people. They're good.
Gives up an eye for it too, right?
He gave up an eye for it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In the bargain. Managed
if only
to save...
there was somewhere he could get another one to cure them again.
Right. Now he... So he managed to cure them, and now that they're back in the warp, they're suddenly succumbing to it again. Nobody stops him. It's like, hey, our new god gave us all a book, said guile and trickery on it, and it was full of fake snakes. Do you think maybe this is him? Do you think maybe he's doing this again? You think he's tricking us, Magnus?
It's like he's completely forgotten. He's like, no, this passage right here opens a book, is showered with spring snakes. God
damn it.
God damn it.
Pokes him in his good eye. So they're
flashing. He's got like two eye patches over two spring snakes, just like stuck in his pockets.
So their flesh was changing too fast. They were dying in droves. This was, of course, Lore Boy's canon at the design of Tzeentch. Of course it was. He knew what he was up to. He inflicted the flesh change on them, knowing, I'm going to say, also being the Lord of Destiny, that Magnus' second in command, the extremely powerful Ahriman the Sorcerer, would work on a cure. So I didn't look this up when I was researching this episode, but when I went to go grab a picture of him before right before we started recording, I found out that Ahriman is like the evil god in Zoroastrianism. Fun fact for you.
Zoroastrian. Oh, it's
that's like the OG like ancient religion. So this is this is a very like Sumerian.
Talking about your Sumerian Mesopotamia.
Yeah, cool.
So Azak Ahriman had been a space marine from the beginning, pretty much. He had been born on Terra, and he and his twin brother Ormuzd were selected to be inducted into the ranks of the Space Marine Legions right after the Unification Wars on Earth.
When I'm corrupted by the ruinous powers, my power armor also better have nipples, like this guy.
big round.
They're bulbous. Yeah,
they're
he's
like I'm just saying this because Ethan's tree is still up. They are like Christmas ornament size nipples.
They are.
He probably sent it back. He's like, you know, it's been chafing my nipples. Can you just like make a little alteration for me?
Well, he's got dome. The flesh change. His nipples just get like bigger and bigger over time.
Man. 6 inches.
Girth.
Danglers.
He's been a space marine pretty much from the beginning. Azak was one of the leading researchers in looking for the original cure before they found Magnus and Magnus made his deal. But ultimately, he couldn't save his twin, Ormuzd, who transformed into a chaos spawn, and Azak, back in the day, was forced to Old Yeller, his twin brother.
Okay.
So he was on the verge of succumbing himself when Magnus the Red was retrieved from involuntary exile and managed to save everybody.
Damn.
Of course, wasn't known to Ahriman at the time that it was Tzeentch who had given Magnus the cure. Still, Ahriman loved Magnus, as all the Thousand Sons did. When an Astartes succumbed to the flesh change much later, Ahriman continued to follow Magnus, but was kind of seeing the first of what he perceived as weakness in his leader after all these times. So, like, okay. Magnus cured it before the fight on Prospero. There was, like, one Space Marine Astartes who succumbed to the flesh change again, and Magnus was just like, it's a one in a billion. It's a fluke. Yeah, that's genetic. That was going to happen to him anyway. He's going to turn into a gibbering horror.
I had a bunch of comorbidities for the tentacle thing. Don't worry
about that's it. Yeah. So, sometimes when you go walk into the woods and watch the sunset, if you have a genetic mutation, you might turn into a chaos thing on your way home.
So, like, Ahriman had obviously revered Magnus, like everyone had, because he cured the flesh change, right? And then he sees this, and he's one of like he was Magnus's second in command at the time, and very much began to doubt his ability after the one change, right? These doubts would fester and grow during the events surrounding the Battle of Prospero, excuse me. And by the time the Thousand Sons had been rescued by Tzeentch, and Magnus had become a Daemon Prince proper, Ahriman's love and admiration had turned to hatred and contempt.
Oh, no.
The fact that he turns on him after, like, one mistake also feels like a bisexual psyop, right?
It feels like
everybody's being manipulated at all times.
I glossed a little bit. I mean, so I do think all of this is Tzeentch's psyopsing. Absolutely. I did gloss over some events for sure. It was like that was the first event.
Bisexual with the T in the middle there, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
by TZ sexual.
Bisexual.
Bite sexual.
Bite sexual, yeah.
I'm bite sexual.
Honestly, Yeah, a good first bite into that gyro. It's bite, that's sexual bite right there.
Pretty good, yeah.
So I glossed over a few things. Like that was the first sign that Armin was like, oh shit, like that's still a thing. I guess he failed to cure the flesh change, and then when he brushed it off, it was like that. But there was like more things that followed after that, and there was like a lot more events in the end. And then he kind of comes to realize when they're saved by Scene, oh, like this guy, the Lord of Change, and like we had this problem called the flesh change, is saving us now, like after all these years. Like he's kind of right. Putting the pieces together, right?
Yeah.
When the flesh change once again ran rampant amongst the survivors of the Thousand Suns in the wake of their exile to the Eye of Terror, and Magnus once again accepted it, now that they're in the Eye of Terror, Magnus is kind of just like, yeah, that's the new hazards of the job, you know what I mean? Ahriman sets out to find a cure for the flesh itself.
Everyone put these on, which is like goggles.
No, they'll protect you from the snakes. Seriously, keep them on. he's got, again, just like band-aids over both eyes.
Yeah, it's like, no, these goggles have been put through the thousand spring snake test. Yeah. They've been hit by a thousand spring snakes already. They're good to go.
We're dealing with a chaos god. You could like open the book and it's just inside the goggles. The snakes hit you all of a sudden.
That's what wounded the emperor, is the fact like a rip in the warp opens up in the throne room and just spring snakes just pour through. Poke him in the eyes.
You open the book and there's just two eyes in the book, and you realize they're your eyes. You take off the glasses, get a better look, and two snakes pop out of your face.
I like that a lot. That's a good one. Yeah, that's such a weird reverse.
We need an animator, I swear to God.
If only I could do that. I experimented with it a few times. I cannot. I'm no
We were watching Zaboomafoo, and there was a couple really shoddy animations. And I was like, I think Peter could do at least 90s cartoon animation.
90s
style.
Cartoons. Yeah.
All right.
It's okay. Like 3 frames a second. You'll be okay. Or for 5 seconds. Like,
yeah, I mean, I can set like a motion tween to 24 frames a second in Flash fine. But it just, there I think go. It looks bad.
Yeah,
we'll outsource it. We'll send it to the Philippines. Yeah. What? That's what everyone does.
I know.
What I do for a living.
Used to send you to Serbia when you worked in the business. Jamie's job. I meant specifically for animation. Consumed by his own hatred, Armin's own hatred and hubris, and utterly unaware of the how crazy attempting to use the very energy of change to stop changes. Ahriman delved into the sorcerous knowledge held in the Book of Magnus. We talked a bit about the Book of Magnus on the last episode, so go listen to that if you're curious. Distilling the colossal collections of formula, incantations, and rites, and infusing the results with his own hatred of Magnus and angst at the fate of his legion, Ahriman devised the canvas of a mighty arcane spell that would ultimately undo all the woe that had befallen his battle brothers and thus protect them from the flesh for all eternity. It's going to go good, right?
Yeah, I think so. Every story you've ever told me about Warhammer has a happy ending. Everyone exactly. resolves everything.
Yeah.
How do you fix change? You change the change, dummy.
Oh, idiot.
Yeah.
preliminary testing of the spell he called the Rubric generated great promise, but Ahriman quickly discovered that he lacked the raw psychic power required to achieve permanent results. He then set to work to gathering those amongst the remaining officers of the Thousand Suns who, like him, were disgusted by what had befallen their legion and their Primarch. Gathering in a fell circle around Ahriman, this cabal of sorcerers lent their power to him, who then unleashed the full potential of his desperate spell. The Rubric manifested itself as an immense storm of arcane power that engulfed the planet of the sorcerers in an etheric hurricane of multicolored clouds. Demons who witnessed the phenomenon fled into the deep warp for their very existences, as the abomination unleashed by Ahriman could snuff out even their immortal essence. So he did a good spell. You got to give it to him. It's a good spell, yeah. Right?
Demons are running.
As in great and terrible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Formidable.
Once fully empowered, the maelstrom of energies fell upon the Thousand Suns as bolts of lightning. Less than 100 amongst them that were psychers, so less than 100 psychers, absorbed the lightning and had their psychic powers drastically augmented. However, the majority of battle brothers of the Legion who lacked the psychic gift could not deal with the cataclysmic amounts of sorcerer's energy which was suddenly pouring into them. Their flesh burned on the spot, their bodies reduced to ash inside their arm. And yet the energies sealed all the joints of their power armor as it burned their bodies. When their souls attempted to depart their ruined bodies, they found themselves trapped inside their armor, dead yet still alive, with a body but unchanging for all eternity. I know neither of you guys have watched it, but this is like one of the characters in Full Metal Alchemist. Exactly what happened to him.
That's what happened to all the suits of armor in the Addams Family house. I think
they were burned by a warp storm.
Well, I just don't know how else they could be alive in there.
True.
This is the only time I've heard.
War Boys Canyon.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Next week, Jamie's doing the Addams Family. Clearly, to explain that. Yeah. That's the seed. We're doing Zinch, Addams Family, DMT is the rest of the. It's yeah. The rest of January, right?
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
I'm gonna do this it from is our Peter. Jump the Shark episode. Oh no.
I'm yeah. gonna do it from Peter's house. It's gonna be Peter, and I can kiss him up and down his arm like Seymour yeah. does to Morticia or whatever. Yeah.
It's not Seymour. It's Gomez.
What is his name? Gomez. There we go.
Seymour. Sorry.
So, I don't know.
Seymour Adams.
I've never seen the Addams Family.
I mean, it's not that crazy compared to Gomez.
I guess. I don't know. They've been around for a long time.
But you gotta
admit, Peter, they're both names.
Yeah.
And got me there.
So Seymour, to those thousand sons that could see more life and survive the attentions of the spell, the ordeal was far from over. They could feel their brethren being utterly consumed through the psychic link that united them. The most affected by this was Magnus himself, who felt every bolt, every burn, and every entrapment as if it were on his own armor, body, and soul. Disabled by the overwhelming sensations, it was only after his whole legion had been affected that the Primarch intervened, wresting control of the spell away from Ahriman, putting an end to it when his chief librarian could not. So it kind of got away from Ahriman. He couldn't even like stop it at a certain point.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
In the aftermath
chief
of the
chief librarian couldn't shush out that spell.
Yeah, right?
Like a silence. Yeah, exactly.
He opened the book. There was two eyes in there. He got too freaked out.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of the cataclysm, it became clear that the rubric had either succeeded beyond all possible explanations or failed abominably, depending on how one looked at it. Instead of purging the flesh of ravening mutations, each of the thousand suns had been transformed. The seals and joints of their power armor had been welded shut, and the body within turned to ash. What remained was a suit of animated armor devoid of mutation, but of all sentience and will as well.
Mm. Oh, fuck. Like, if you buy Thousand Suns toys, is that just empty power armor full of warp magic?
So it depends which ones you get. So Ahriman had created what would later be known as the Rubric Marines. So specifically, most of the Marines of the Thousand Suns, of the Chaos Thousand Suns, are Rubric Marines, who are just these empty husks ordered into battle, essentially. Ahriman himself, along with most of his cabal, were at first ecstatic.
Yeah, this is the cool guys. Sorry, not to stop you again, but it's because I'm notoriously not a fan of Space Marines because they all look the same and are kind of boring, which is why I have the Sisters of Battle. Mm. But I've always liked the, I guess because of like the connections we made already, I always was like, oh, they have like the pharaoh sides to their helmets, right? Yeah. Is the flair they've added. But I guess it's more Mesopotamian, like the like kind of tapered rounded point with the lines in it. But yeah, I've always loved the Rubric Marines, and knowing now that they're just like an empty shell full of magic makes them even cooler.
Full of ashes.
Yeah.
They're just a fancy ashtray.
A big hat is what made Pete like Space Marine design, for the record. Is what yeah. I'm saying right now. It's just give it a hat.
The bisexual energy.
Yeah. yeah, baby. I'm wearing a purple shirt right now, man.
Their suits are full of ashes. Like when they go into a new place, instead of taking their shoes off, they have to like tap their toes into an ashtray before walking on. Don't track that ash into my ass.
Yeah. So you're like walking down the street and you just like push a cigarette butt through the little tiny hole in the front of the helmet.
Yeah. In the grill in their helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy stands next to the garbage can.
It's his job.
Picking butts out of a Space Marine.
Yeah.
So Ahriman himself, along with most of his cabal, were at first ecstatic. Like I said, his brethren were now, as he intended, protected from the flesh change, and the fact that they paid for this protection with the destruction of their physical bodies was deemed an acceptable price to pay. Over the next 10,000 years, he's going to change his mind. He's going to kind of regret what he did to them.
Right.
Others in the before 10,000 years has passed, including Magnus and some others, were horrified that their once proud fellow Astartes were now little more than spectral automatons, barely aware of the world around them, what remained of their minds irrevocably shattered by the ordeal.
I would take ghost body over upside down torso with tentacles coming out of my eyes any day of the week, though.
Yeah, probably me too.
Yeah.
Probably me too, I think.
I don't want to live in this world. Everything's so sad in this world. It's like, you become a chaos monster. And yeah, when you die, you don't really die. You're just, your soul stays somewhere in this awful flesh and is tortured forever. Like, oh God, afterlife.
Constantly.
Like, Jesus.
So Magnus, furious at what Ahriman had done, assaulted the tower where the ritual had taken place and made to strike Ahriman down. When he held the head of his former companion in his hand, ready to deal the killing blow, who would intervene but Tsinch himself? We don't really know why. Kind of the nature of the beast is that you don't really know why Tsinch is doing the things that Tsinch is doing. We can make assumptions, but that's about it. No matter the reason, Magnus listens. Magnus does not kill Ahriman because Tsinch says, you wouldn't so readily destroy one of my pawns, would you?
You wouldn't hit somebody with glasses, would you? And you're like, well, I guess not.
He said he's holding his head. Is it kind of like holding the back of the head, like close to your face?
Yeah.
Ahriman is like leaning up against the wall, and Magnus comes into the room, like slaps the wall next to his head.
Okay.
That's the opening move, you know what I mean?
Cool, I like that.
Yeah. It's very hot.
Yeah.
They can't kiss with their armor suits are welded shut now.
And then Slaanesh is just nodding in the back. Yeah.
Just like the mouth vents that all the space marines have. Just like, punk. Yeah. it's like that creaking ship noise of the mid.
Yeah. So instead of killing Ahriman, he banished him and the sorcerers who had followed him from Sortarius, their home planet, telling them that they could not return until they understood the exact nature of both Tsinch and the warp. I imagine that's a difficult task, to understand the ever-changing god.
Yeah, you're leaving homework. You're leaving like sorcerer planet to go to homework planet, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Since that time, over 10,000 years ago, Ahriman and his warband of Thousand Sons, Chaos Astartes, the Prodigal Sons, have wandered the galaxy searching knowledge of the nature of chaos. So Prodigal Sons are... Chaos Space Marines play as well.
They seem less evil, I guess.
I mean, so Ahriman,
which
did
is
not...
the nature of the CIA, is to do evil without appearing evil. Like the PSYOP thing is still very much runs deep, but like the fact they're not like terrorizing planets and drinking their blood or plaguing people and shit, right? Like,
yeah, and I mean again, it's like you say, that's the CIA's way, that's Tsinch's way, and they were against joining the forces of chaos, right? Like, to some degree, at the very least, like, they didn't want this to happen. They were mad at Magnus, and that's why originally they were like, it's worth it to have destroyed all our bodies so Tsinch can't keep corrupting us.
Yeah.
But they do, the Prodigal Sons do serve, and that quote I read you earlier was from Ahriman when he said, like, your empire is weak and full of fools, and I see the truth now.
Right.
The remaining Thousand Sons, now mostly reduced to spectral rubric marines, have marched into battle led by apprentice chaos sorcerers, who are the only members of the Thousand Sons with the ability to command the mindless beings that now lurk within the armor of the once proud 15th Legion.
Can you kill them?
Boom. Probably. Destroy their armor. I assume that's like enough to like make this ball or something.
Yeah.
Again, in Full Metal Alchemist, it's his brother is in a, his brother's soul is trapped in a suit of armor because he destroyed his brother's soul trying to resurrect their mother. Not really a spoiler. It's the very first scene of the very first episode. But he has drawn a sigil into the inside of the armor to like bind the soul there. And like, there's a couple times in the series where it's like, that's at risk of being destroyed. Like the seal is at risk of being destroyed. I can say Lore Boys can, and these guys work the same.
What if you just like wait till they all fall to ghost sleep, and then you like Windex bottle like water at all their joints, and then they rush shut.
Like the Tin Man from
you Windex bottle vinegar in there, so it's like a baking soda volcano. And all the ashes
mess up, yeah, just like ashy.
It's like spilling out the front.
The mouth.
Yeah. Think of Mentos and Diet Coke, and the head just shoots off.
But yeah, that's been our episode on Tsinch. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys like the show, consider leaving us a review. It's the best way for us to grow. Jamie, you have anything you want to talk about?
discord.gg/loreboys. That's where the action happens. I saw a lot of new folks come in. Someone I thought was so funny. They came in. Their name's just Skid, which sounds like kind of like a high school dirtbag name. And then I checked their description, and it just said, "Your mom." And I was like, hell yeah, Skid. I was like, dad, you're just on brand. I like you. A bunch of people joining every week. We definitely see you. We talk with you. So discord.gg/loreboys. I kind of want to grab a camera and start streaming more, but I won't tell you more until I fully commit to that. But if you want to see me stream, bully me into it on that Discord, and it'll happen faster. So
honestly, even if you don't want to see Jamie stream, bully him.
Yeah,
also. I think you should.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Peter, anything you want to talk about?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, we cleared, I think we're like 1100 something followers now, which always feels good. It's always good to see new people drop in. I like that a lot. I was very disappointed to live the artist meme of here's a thing I worked 20 hours on, 5 likes. Here's a picture of Shrek, 500 likes, where our Terraria art that took me like 2 hours of taking rocks from one server and then building a thing and then putting the rocks back is like the most popular image I've ever posted.
Nice.
And then like something I actually like worked hard on is like doing very well, thankfully, but less well. But yeah, at Laura's Podcast on Instagram. Coloring in my comic right now. Keep an eye out for it. In and around Valentine's Day, still in my head, sounds realistic. We'll see how delusional I am.
You got a month?
I do. I was working on it before the episode, dude. Let's go. That's it. I was working on it like right up until now.
We'll get back to work, Peter. Jeez.
After. I got to get stoned, and then I'll do it.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can get access to a couple of fun things, including some bonus audio. You get access to the episode picks if you join the Discord as well. It's exclusive for the patrons. And you'll get our undying gratitude. We appreciate it so much.
We're over 100 bonus episodes now, right? I think I missed 100th, but we got to be close.
I want to say you missed the 98th. This might be the 99th.
Oh, so we're coming up on 100. So there's like 100 whole episodes just hiding there. So if you guys want those.
All of them between 30 minutes and like an hour.
Probably. Yeah. It's like $3
bucks. If you catch us on a Saturday when we're all drunk, that's the bonus episodes you want to listen to.
Those ones are wild.
Yeah,
so you can check that out. That again is patreon.com/theloreboys. This week, bet you guys have been having some fun dreams this week. We've been sending visions to all our listeners in their dreams, of course, looking for people who can animate, people who can color within the lines, within the lines for Pete Comic, and for people who can snowblow, because I do have a driveway that I got to get to snowblowing. So
I was hoping you guys would be here
by now. I don't know if you're just waiting in the dark on the porch. I know this episode doesn't release for a few days, but if you're not here yet, go check those dreams.
When you said coloring within the lines, it made me think of Pete printing out his comic and using crayons.
Every time he says he's coloring, that's exactly what I picture. It's just him being super stoned. And
yeah, and I'm wearing this weird glove with two fingers on it.
Yeah. Exactly. And he writes his name, Peter, with one of the E's backwards, 32.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that Robin Williams movie? It's not Simple Jack, because that's from Tropic Thunder.
Flubber.
No, the one where he's like a disabled guy who goes to kindergarten.
That rings a bell. Is it Big? No, that's a different guy.
That's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
A robot wizard turns him into an adult, and an adult woman fucks him. That's a very crazy 80s movie. Yeah.
Well, on that note,
I think that would consume.
That's Lord of Change right there, baby.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.